You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Welcome to the same old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day, my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Welcome back, Brain.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Been a minute. What? Been a minute since we did a show.
I mean, we're going to have to shake some rust off because it has been quite some time.
Yeah, I've already been shaking off the rust as we were just getting set to go live here on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, by the way. So hello, shout out to everybody watching us live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. We're back. We're glad you're back with us. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. If you're watching us after the fact, welcome. If you're listening after the fact, welcome. We are excited for the 2023 season, and we're stoked to be with you a couple times a week here on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. We're back. I'm Brain. I gotta say, we didn't talk about doing this in the pre-show, but I think, you know, given everything that's going on, I think we got to start like this.
You check your pulse if you're not fired up.
Right, it's time for a Miami Dolphins pulse check. Brain, it's pulse check time here on the same old Dolphin Show because it's a new season and it's been a little while. Camp is underway. Things are going on. We got as some people are listening to this, there's going to be a preseason game tonight, right? If you're watching live, it's tomorrow night. It's time, Brain. So it's time to determine how your pulse is feeling about the Miami Dolphins. So for those of you who have not been with us on the same old Dolphin Show before, what we do is we ask you as listeners to share with us how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now in one word. That's the pulse check. Tell us in one word how you're feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now. So Brain, I'm going to start with you. Tell me how you're feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now.
All right. So I'm going to come right out of the box with it. My word is anxious. And I know the word anxious kind of has maybe a little bit of a negative connotation, you know, kind of related to anxiety and, you know, things of that nature. And yeah, I think there's some of that to that, that is true. I do feel a little bit of anxiety coming into the season, but also I'm excited. And also the reason that I feel that anxiety is because it feels like there are stakes to this season because we could have said, and we did say, you know, last year we like to say, well, there's a world where this team is a Super Bowl contender. Well, this year there is an expectation that this is a Super Bowl contending team. And that should be the expectation because of the way that this team has been built, the resources that have been spent. And although I'm not one that truly believes that this team has actually gone all in, I do think that they have really, to a certain extent, put their money on making a deep run this year and next year, and that this is their winning window, and they are trying to win a championship while still in the rookie contract of Tua Tagovailoa. And so, with that being said, it's extremely exciting because I cannot remember the last time that this team had these expectations realistically. But it's also scary because this is a team that is consistently, whether the expectations were to be a playoff team, a 10-win team, a team that makes a run, that wins a playoff, they consistently have fallen short of expectations. So, you know, I'm excited. I think there's a real chance here, but I still really need to see this team perform. And the truth is, after what we saw last year, I don't know that there's anything that the Dolphins can do until we get to January that's really going to make me feel any different about this team, because they started about as good as you could have hoped for last year, and it all came crumbling down in the second half of the season, or the final third of the season. And so we hope that they have a little bit more luck this year. We hope that they're a little bit more prepared this year, and we hope that in general they're better this year and that they actually fulfill these lofty expectations. But until they do, I'm anxious.
That's understandable, Brain. I can understand how you're feeling. And I'm going to tell you, I feel similarly, but I'm coming at it from a different perspective. I'm feeling right now, Brain, I'm feeling strong. Feeling strong about this team. And I'm feeling strong because this is the first time, as you mentioned, first time in a really long time that I have come into a Miami Dolphins football season with the belief, not expectation necessarily, but the belief that the ceiling for this team this year, the ceiling for this team is Super Bowl champions. That's the ceiling for this team. It is, and it is not, I don't feel like that is a ridiculous stretch. I don't feel like, you know, that's hyperbolic. I legitimately feel that the ceiling for the 2023 Miami Dolphins is Super Bowl champions. The floor is, I think the floor is a team that, 9-7 misses the playoffs. I think that's the floor for this team. And that is significant. That's different too, because in different years, 9-7 was seen as, an aspirational kind of record. And, the floor was significantly lower. I feel like right now with this team, the floor is higher. Of course, it's also possible that the bottom could completely drop out. But we're going to talk about what needs to happen for that not to happen this year. If we want the Dolphins to hit that ceiling, that's what we're aiming for tonight. And that's what we're going to talk about on the show today. We are going to talk about questions that the Dolphins need to answer in the affirmative if they want to hit that ceiling, if they want to end 2023, or the 2023 season rather, because the season ends in 24. But if they want to keep playing football all the way to 2024 and be the last team standing and lift that Lombardi trophy, if that's going to happen, they've got to answer yes to all of the questions that we are going to ask today on this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. But for now, I am feeling strong about this team. So, Brain, before we dive in to those questions, we got to give a shout out and first remind everybody, make sure you're following us on Twitter. I'm not going to call it the other gimmick. It's Twitter. So you're going to follow us on Twitter at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. We invite you to download, rate, review, subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcast. We appreciate you doing that. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review. Turn on notifications so you know when we go live. Do all of those things. And we appreciate it very much. We appreciate the Miami Dolphins family. We love it. We love to have you here. We love to have you with us. And I also want to give a shout out to our good friends at Dolphins Talk. Make sure you're visiting dolphinstalk.com each and every day. It's great to be back with the family over there as well. And also, got to give a shout out to Caldera Lab. Gentlemen, we all know first impressions matter. And if you're not taking care of your skin, that's going to be the first thing someone notices and instantly either thinks you're way older than you are, or you just don't care about your appearance. Show them that you do care about your appearance and make a great first impression with Caldera Lab. Listen, you don't want to have crusty old skin, right? You've been out in the sun, it's summertime. You got to take care of your skin. You got to moisturize it. You got to make sure it's good, right? And listen, we all get our hair cut. We all brush our teeth, right? We all take a shower. You're cleaning off your body. You're washing your hair. You're doing all those things. Don't neglect your skin. Take care of your skin, under your eyes, you know, your face. Keep yourself together. Look young. Look fresh. Look, you know, just, you're just going to give yourself that little glow. You want to have a little glow to you. So what you got to do? We had an exclusive offer for our friends at Caldera Lab because they've got these incredible products that I've been using. You may have noticed that I appear a little bit younger today. It's because I've been using the Caldera Lab stuff, the under eye stuff in particular. I'm really glad about. I'm really happy with. And we've got an exclusive offer. It's the best offer available anywhere. You go to calderalab.com and use the code DolphinsTalk. You're going to get 20% off all of their incredible products. It's 20% off with the code DolphinsTalk at Caldera Lab. You'll make unforgettable first impressions that lead to the charming words, "You look younger." Although not everybody wants to look younger, but in this case, just do it. Caldera Lab. DolphinsTalk is the promo code. All right, Brain, let's get into it. Questions. We're going to dive right in, okay? I've been looking at our questions. I think I kind of want to work backwards from question 8 down to question 1, but I don't know. Screw it. Let's just go right in.
In whatever order you want.
Okay. I've got all these questions numbered 1 through 8. Here we go. Starting with question number 1. It's the biggest question. Can the Miami Dolphins stay healthy?
Oh, typo right out the gate.
I told you, typo on the graphic. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, we got to shake the rust off, baby. We got to shake the... Here we go. How's that? Better? Can the Miami Dolphins stay healthy? That's the first question. We've already seen big investment that they made bringing Jalen Ramsey in. He's hurt. Now, luckily, they dodged the biggest bullet, which would have had him out for the season. He's going to be back in December, maybe even November, but there's already an injury down. We've had some little smaller injuries. It looked like we were going to have a receiver, Braylon Sanders, go down with a big injury, but it looks like he has avoided that. Health is going to be the big thing for the Miami Dolphins this season. The biggest question, obviously, is the quarterback. He's got to stay healthy for himself, you know, because he's got a contract riding on his performance this season. But we also know that the Dolphins perform much better when they've got Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, and they've got their first line guys up there. That defense, if it's going to do what we need it to do this year, we need the defense to stay healthy. We can't be down to the dregs of our cornerback room like we were last year. So, Brain, health is going to be the big, big concern for the Miami Dolphins as we head into 2023.
Yeah, I mean, it is for every team. I mean, the truth is, you know, as one of the commenters said there on YouTube, no team stays healthy. And it would be unrealistic to go into the season expecting that the Dolphins are not going to have significant injuries, even from this point forth, you know, even having already suffered the injury from Jalen Ramsey. The thing is, can you not have a ton of injuries and not have a ton of injuries at a specific position group that is vital to your success? And when you get those injuries, are you better equipped? Do you have the depth to deal with it and overcome those injuries? That's really the question about this team. I believe that they've put enough in depth wise that, you know, barring a massive rash of injuries at a specific position group or a huge number of injuries to your elite players, your top level players, I think this team can weather that. I think any team in the league, I don't care how good you are, whoever you think is the best team in the league, if they have 4 or 5 of their best players go down and miss significant time, that's going to impact them. They're going to struggle. The question is, can you get the luck to not have that happen? And when you have a few guys go down, you know, do you have enough to still make it through? I think the Dolphins have done enough depth-wise to mitigate that. I still worry about quarterback, though, because at the end of the day, there's only so much that, you know, you can make up for at that position. Like, if Tua goes down, like, Is anybody confident in Mike White stepping in and really being any better than what we've seen the last few years from whether it's Skylar Thompson or Teddy Bridgewater or Jacoby Brissett? Because I'm not. And that was why I didn't really love the idea of spending a bunch of money on a backup quarterback, because at the end of the day, right now, if you ask most people who's been the better quarterback at camp between Mike White and Skylar Thompson, they're going to tell you it's been Skylar Thompson. And so we don't know. It's very early in training camp and in preseason for us to really know how the depth chart's going to shake out. Are they going to keep three quarterbacks? I certainly think they should keep three quarterbacks given Tua's injury history. But if Tua goes down, you're going to have one of those two guys stepping up. And do you feel confident about it? Well, that's where the rest of the team, the defense, the offensive line, the running backs, is this team better to the point where, okay, if Tua misses a handful of games again, like he's done pretty much every year since college, are you good enough to, you know, go 500 in those, you know, in those games that he misses?
And in this competitive division that the Dolphins are in, you know, a lot of people are fixing to, you know, are saying that this is fixing to be a pretty tough division here in the AFC East. There's very little margin for error for the Dolphins, because remember, if it doesn't matter if the Dolphins finish this season 12-5, but don't win the division. You know, that they're still going on the road. So it's, we know that this is a team that's going to be built to be playing at home in the playoffs. But so that's a big question. Question number one, can they stay healthy? We're going to go to question two, and I've thrown a little curveball here in terms of the direction of the question, because I see some chatter in the chat. And again, if you're watching us live, that's the perk. You can be in the chat with us and you can help move the conversation along. Question number two is, can the offensive line provide at least replacement level play for these Miami Dolphins? We've seen this offensive line struggle. We need them to be an average offensive line. We don't need them to be an elite offensive line. We just need them to get to a place where they can be an average offensive line. And that would be a step in the right direction. And again, playing into the idea of staying healthy, I think it's kind of baked in that you're going to expect to have Teron Armstead out there for, you know, we'll say 13 to 14 games, and that he's going to miss three or four games for you. And that's just kind of baked in because that's just who he is and who he's been in his career. The question is, can the offensive line with Teron Armstead, at times without Teron Armstead, can this offensive line provide at least a baseline level of comfortability and protection for the quarterback, and an ability to at least establish some sort of running game? Can they get that kind of play? And at this point in camp, we know a couple of things. One, Liam Eikenberg, his days are numbered as the left guard for the Miami Dolphins, at least for the starting left guard for the Miami Dolphins. Rumors and the word out of camp sounds like Isaiah Wynn is the guy who's pretty much taking that position away from Eikenberg. And what we don't know is whether that's because Wynn has been doing such a great job, or if it's just like we've lost patience with Liam Eikenberg. But we know that it sounds like Wynn is going to be your left guard. And, you know, you still got Austin Jackson at right tackle, and it sounds like he is still a liability. And I'm going to continue to believe that he's going to be a liability at right tackle until he proves otherwise. So the question again, Bryn, can this offensive line at least get to a level, you know, maybe with the replacement of Eikenberg by bringing Wynn in, or, you know, maybe Austin Jackson can elevate his level, but can this at least be a league average offensive line?
Okay. So there's a difference between league average and replacement level. Let's start there, because this question, this might be an unpopular opinion. This offensive line was already was not horrible last year. It was not great. But name me the game that the Dolphins lost last year because of their offensive line.
Well, I think it's not as simple as saying that they lost or Tua got hurt because of the offensive line. It has much more to do with an inability to establish the run when you needed to establish the run. And that's one of those areas where the offensive line was a problem.
What game did the Dolphins lose primarily because the offensive line didn't do their job?
A fair point.
There wasn't one. There were games where the defense struggled and lost the game. There was that game against Minnesota where Jalen Waddle basically gave Minnesota the game with two turnovers. There was the Green Bay game where Tua, maybe he played concussed, maybe he didn't, but he threw a bunch of interceptions in the second half. There were the games where Tua didn't play and Skylar Thompson played and the offense looked inept. And then if you want to say, well, the games that Skylar Thompson played or the games where the backup quarterback played, that happened because of the offense. Well, no, that's not true either, because the plays where Tua was knocked out were plays where it was essentially on him. It was off script. He was out of the pocket and he got hurt, and it was not the offensive line's fault. So while this offensive line absolutely needs to play better so that the Dolphins can be more balanced on offense and be more dynamic and consistent on offense, this idea that the Dolphins offensive line was like the worst in the league last year, no, that's like a 2019, 2020, 2021 narrative that was just kind of sticking around. This is an offensive line that actually played a lot better last year. Now, I do think that there are still major question marks, and the ceiling of this team, really depends on the offensive line at least being, like you said, average, because you can't have the offensive line be below average, in my opinion, and still win a Super Bowl unless the defense is absolutely elite and you have enough on offense to really mask that. And I just, from what I've seen, I don't feel confident that that would be the case. I think the offensive line does need to be at least average for the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl. But can they play at a replacement level? They played at a replacement level last year. They were fine. They weren't the reason that the Dolphins didn't win a playoff game last year.
All right. Fair. Well, then let's do this. Let's move to this question for question number three, because I think it's an important one. And it has to do with the offense, sticking on the offensive side of the ball. Is, can our offense counter when a defense shuts down plan A? And this is something that we saw in the tail end of last season. It really started with that Chargers game late in the year, where teams kind of figured out what it was that the Dolphins were wanting to do and started to be a bit more aggressive with them. And it seemed like the Dolphins struggled to counter that. Now, part of it is because Tua happened to also be unhealthy in that stretch. But part of it is also when you're talking about the kind of high leverage situations the Dolphins want to find themselves in this season. You're talking about going deep into the playoffs. You want to be talking about elite matchups late in the season. To win those kinds of football games, you've got to go in. Obviously, you're going in with a plan A, and you hope your plan A is going to work, but you've got to be prepared for what happens when a team comes out and figures out how to slow plan A down or stop it altogether and figure out some other kind of plan. And what we saw last year was that the Dolphins largely could not figure out how to do that. So as we go into this season, year two with Mike McDaniel, can this team figure out that second way or that other solution when the first plan gets shut down? Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Do the Dolphins have a plan for when they get punched in the mouth?
Well, we hope so. I mean, you're going into year two of the system. Mike McDaniel, you know, he's very highly regarded as an offensive mind. I would hate to think that, like, we saw all of Mike McDaniel, everything that he can do in year one. I don't think that that's the case. In addition to the comfort that you're going to have of Tua in year two of this system, the wide receivers in year two of this system, the offensive line in year two of this system, you also have some more weapons. You know, you've got some depth in that receiving core. I think Braxton Berrios is a legitimate slot receiver. I think, you know, Robbie Chosen has looked really good at times in this training camp. I think he's going to make this roster provided he stays healthy. And I think that there's enough in that receiving core that you don't necessarily need Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle to do everything for you offensively. And the bigger thing is, can they run the ball? That's really, and honestly, it's not can they run the ball. It's will they choose to run the ball?
And that is exactly question four, Brain. That is question four, is can the Dolphins establish and lean on a solid running game? Because that's part of that, you know, it's like when they tell you that Frosted Flakes are a nutritious part of a balanced breakfast, right? The running game is part of a well-balanced breakfast for the Miami Dolphins when it comes to winning football. You got to be able to run the ball, because part of figuring out how to counter what these other teams are going to throw at you, right? Teams figure out that, oh, the Dolphins want to do these quick slants. They want to do all of these. They want to run these routes, and this is how we're going to shut them down. Obviously, they want to use their speed. So they're doing these light boxes. So can the Dolphins then take advantage of those light boxes and choose to run the ball and build that into their plan going forward? That's the other question.
Yeah, and I think that they can. I think there are major questions about the offensive line. But here's the thing, is that when you look at this offensive line, granted, we don't want to go crazy about this whole Isaiah Wynn thing because he beat out Liam Eikenberg. Not going to go crazy about it. Like, let's be honest. Liam Eikenberg sucks. Like, it is what it is.
But let's be honest. Liam Eikenberg sucks.
Is that the
Aaron
name
Katzker,
of the
2023.
Is that the name of the show? Is that the name of the episode?
I mean, it might be.
But you feel good about Teron Armstead, Isaiah Wynn. Well, you certainly feel good about Connor Williams and Robert Hunt. And let's say you don't feel confident about Austin Jackson. And honestly, you shouldn't feel confident about Austin Jackson. But if there's one thing about Austin Jackson that you should actually like, he's actually a pretty good run blocker as a tackle. He's just terrible in pass protection throughout his career. And I don't know that that's going to change this season. But assuming he's your right tackle, that's a pretty darn good offensive line to run the football with. And honestly, when you look at the averages per carry of these running backs last year, I know, look, it's still floating out there. Are the Dolphins going to go get Dalvin Cook? I don't know. Maybe not. But whether he's here or not, the guys in this backfield showed that they're capable of putting up about 4.5 yards a carry. And if you can run for 4.5 yards a carry, then that's effective. So it really comes down to Mike McDaniel trusting it, especially against the teams that are going to defend you by saying, we're not going to let Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill beat us like the Chargers did, where they said, exactly, we're going to bracket these two guys. And we are going to believe that there is not a single player on this Dolphins offense that's going to beat us. And they were right. So do the Dolphins have more weapons? So like if the chart, let's say game one, the Chargers say, hey, we're going to run the same game plan at you. Do the Dolphins have the ability to run the ball at them, to take advantage of that, to get them out of that defense? Do they have the ability to hit Braxton Berrios over the middle? Or is it, you know, Robbie Chosen, or is it Eric Azukama? Is there somebody else that's going to beat them? That's really the question. But the bigger question isn't, do they have the weapons? The bigger question is, will Mike McDaniel make the adjustment as opposed to just banging his head on the wall and calling the same plays over and over again? I haven't been at training camp. I haven't seen the practices, but I have heard, not in specifics, but I have heard that the Dolphins are running different concepts with their routes than they ran last year, which should give them more versatility in the passing game. But I still think running the ball is the biggest counter.
Absolutely.
And I'll say this. If they can run the ball, this offense will not just be good. It'll be great.
I like you brought it back. You brought it back to the Frosted Flakes. Although I wonder if there are people out there that didn't get that as a Frosted Flakes reference. I don't know if Tony the Tiger is still a thing. But anyway,
he's a thing.
Listen, we don't need them to lead. We don't need them to make that running game like be a run first team. But if they've got it and it works and they can do it, let's do it. And here we go. Question five. This is a big one. Can Tua play off script and take another step forward as a field general for this team? I think we all saw last season that Tua is absolutely, when he is on script, on time, in this system, he is exactly the quarterback that the Dolphins need him to be in those moments. But what we also saw last season is that when things were not exactly as he wanted them or expected them to be, that he takes a significant step back as a player, right? And I don't mean to say that critically. I say that fairly objectively, that Tua is at his very best when everything is going according to plan. And what you need, what the Dolphins need, one of the things that's going to help them take this to the next level, and it goes along with what we just said earlier about being able to have a plan B, is can Tua take a step forward as a quarterback to have the ability that when things fall apart around him, to still be able to figure it out and lift this team up and take them to that next place? There are, you know, you will hear reports that, you know, Josh Allen, you know, he has this thing where he has a mental breakdown and things don't work out for him. And it's true that sometimes that is a thing, right? He glitches, right? But there are also times where he's got the ability to play off script and he's got that big body and he can run the ball and he can do that, where he can use that to his advantage. We see that Patrick Mahomes is an elite, perhaps the all-time greatest quarterback when it comes to things aren't going according to plan. Let me figure something else out. He's constantly pulling things out of his ass. I'm not saying that Tua Tagovailoa needs to be Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't need to do that. But he does need to figure out a way to continue to lift this team in situations where it's not all going according to plan and things are getting trapped and things are breaking down. He's got to be able to find that way to elevate his teammates and the team. Brain, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, look, would I love for Tua to be Aaron Rodgers and, you know, be outstanding when everything is going well in the play, and then when things break down, be able to quickly figure out a way to still make a positive out of the play and do that on a consistent basis and be elite? Yeah, I mean, I would love for that to be the case. And if that is the case, if Tua develops that part of his game, then he is absolutely an elite quarterback in this league, and the Dolphins have a franchise quarterback for the, you know, for the foreseeable future, you know, so long as he's healthy. But I don't think that the Dolphins necessarily need Tua to be an elite quarterback to win the Super Bowl. They just need him to be good and play within himself. And when things break down, they need him to make the smart play. That means not turning the ball over, but it also means protecting himself. It means living to see another down.
What's he been taking falling class for all off season?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I would like to see him fall less, but
I think everybody would.
Yeah, but when he falls,
let's all go have a conversation with Austin Jackson.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see how that goes. And granted, you want Tua to be healthy, but like we said, like the times where Tua got hurt last year, it wasn't because of the offensive line. It was because he held on to the ball. He was trying to do too much. And then, you know, he got hurt because, you know, let's face it, he's not Josh Allen. You know,
right,
when Josh Allen rolls out of the pocket and gets hit unexpectedly, he's a big guy. He's not getting flung to the ground with the force that Tua is, because he's undersized, and Tua has to understand that that's a limitation of his game. And so he needs to protect himself. You know, Drew Brees was not a big quarterback, But Drew Brees knew that he needed, for him to be at his best and for his team to be at his best, he needed to not take hits. So if it wasn't there, he threw the ball away. You know, Tua needs to be able to do that as well. And, you know, furthermore, it's one thing to be, you know, these out of the pocket, broken play kind of situations. But the other thing is, it's been a knock on Tua since he came out of college, which is when a defense takes away his first option, how quickly can he get off of that first option to effectively go to his second, third, fourth option, and make the right play? I think that's key also to his development. I don't think Tua needs to be Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't need to be Patrick Mahomes for the Dolphins to win a Super Bowl. This team is good enough around him, but he just has to play smart. Like, if Tua is a top 10 to 15 quarterback, the Dolphins will have a chance to win the Super Bowl this year. If
you just
healthy.
Need him, you just need him to be right. You need him to stay healthy and be good Kirk Cousins. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, good Kirk Cousins is pretty good.
Yeah, you were ready to move. You were ready to bring Kirk Cousins in last season, if I remember correctly.
When did I say that? Did I say that?
I believe you said that if we were talking about replacing Tua, I think we were doing Tua or Kirk Cousins. I think you may have said Kirk Cousins.
I don't know that I believe.
We'll have to go back
and check the tape. I think they're in the same tier. That's going to piss a lot of people off. But I think they're in the same tier.
You just did it. You just run it back. Run it back. All right. Well, last question on the offense, and then we'll move over to the defensive side of the ball for a couple of questions here. Can the Miami Dolphins improve on time management and pre-snap penalties? This is critical. We know that the Dolphins are still having some issues with pre-snap penalties in practice, but time management, getting those plays in, you've got to imagine, right, Brain, that having the second year in the system, and McDaniel has talked about how they basically spent all last year learning a new language. But now having that understanding, that's got to help, right, when it comes to getting plays in and being able to run this offense smoothly and efficiently?
I mean, you would hope so. I think it was, in the Sharp Guide to Football, he had like a, you know, he broke down like the teams that had the most like delay of game penalties and things of that nature. And there was like a common thread between the teams that had the most delay of game penalties. It was like five of the seven had either a new quarterback or a new offensive coordinator or both. And so you would hope second year of the system, a little more comfort, in the system. Also, this has been a talking point. It's been stated by the coach that you would think, all right, there's a little added emphasis here. This is definitely something that they're working on. So you would think that naturally it would take care of itself. But, you know, we just have to wait and see if that happens. I think that, you know, that of all the things going on with the team this year, of all the questions, I think this is probably the one that I feel the most confident about, you know, the team will make an improvement.
Well, I certainly hope you're right. Let's move to the other side of the ball now, Brain. And this is where we think we expect the answer to this question to be an affirmative one. But can this Miami Dolphins defense bounce back and take a big step forward? Obviously, this is where at least the early part of the offseason is where the focus was. Bringing in Vic Fangio, bringing in Jalen Ramsey, getting all of your guys back in the secondary. You've got to feel like this is a team that is primed and ready to take a step forward defensively, particularly now that they've got Vic Fangio at the helm on the defensive side of the ball. I've heard people say that the Miami Dolphins have the ability to be a top 10, possibly top 5 defense in the NFL this year. Brain, can the Dolphins do that?
They absolutely should. You know, to be honest, as much as the defense struggled at times last year, they ended up being a decent defense. You know, they actually played really well down the stretch. And now you're getting, and that was with all the injuries at corner. And that was with Josh Boyer, who really had no idea what he was doing, and the Dolphins were running the same defense almost every single play, every single situation, extremely easy to read. And now you have not just an upgrade at defensive coordinator, but you have probably the best defensive mind in the game in Vic Fangio running that side of the ball. And then in addition, you're getting a full year of Bradley Chubb. You're getting another year of development from your from young guys like Christian Wilkins and Jalen Phillips. You're getting another year better of Javon Holland. You bring in a David Long who, you know, may right now be your best linebacker. And so now Jerome Baker is your second best linebacker instead of being your best linebacker. So that makes that room solid. I think there's still question marks as much as everybody wants to believe. And look, obviously with Jalen Ramsey there, the secondary is elite and this defense is really elite. And there's certainly a lot of promise about this secondary in general, but I think there's a lot of question marks. I think if we're being honest about the Dolphins secondary, even though there is a high ceiling, I also think there's a relatively low floor on what this Dolphins secondary is. And I think, you know, obviously it starts with the Jalen Ramsey injury because we don't know if he's coming back until November or December. If he comes back, is he going to be 100%? Is he going to rush? Like, that's a whole question that's going to happen. That question is going to be asked ad nauseum when it comes time for him to come back. But even before he comes back, for this Dolphins secondary to be really good, granted, coaching helps and strategy helps and scheme helps. But Xavien Howard, you know, was last year a case of he was hurt, he was playing hurt, and that's why he struggled. There is certainly evidence to suggest that that might be the case. He had multiple groin injuries last year, and he played through them. So it is, you know, worth noting that, and it is conceivable to think that Xavien Howard, who was one of the best corners in the league just a year before that, would come back and play at that level. And if he does, I think this Dolphins secondary has a high ceiling. But outside of Xavien Howard, Kader Kohou is right now our second best corner. Outstanding story. Undrafted rookie free agent comes in, forced into action, plays admirably well at the start, gets better as the season goes on, and actually plays a pretty solid cornerback for the majority of the season. Now the question is, does he take another step forward? Signs seem to be pointing in that direction at camp, but that's still a question mark. You can't sit here with 100% confidence and say, oh yeah, our secondary is good because we have a second year undrafted free agent named Kader Kohou. Now we got Cam Smith, rookie corner that majority of the fan base didn't even like the pick when they took him, but now he's getting his hands on some balls in practice and everybody's saying, well, Cam Smith is going to be really good. We don't know that Cam Smith is going to be good. And then here's one. Tell me if you've heard this one before. You know,
I'm listening.
Noah Igbinoghene's looked pretty good at training camp.
I mean, it's happening.
It's happened every year. I don't understand how people fall for this every, and I hope that Noah Igbinoghene can be a serviceable player and make this roster and actually be a bonus piece to this secondary. And I didn't mention Eli Apple, who has extensive starting experience, but this is not a sure thing with what the Dolphins have at cornerback. And that doesn't even get into the fact that our safety situation outside of Javon Holland is Deshaun Elliott, who really should be a third safety. Brandon Jones, who is the team's second safety, is still in a red jersey. We don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the season. And then Trill Williams may or may not be playing safety. And this is a guy who was an undrafted rookie who showed signs, but has never played a down of football in the regular season at the NFL level. So I think there's a lot of questions about the Dolphins secondary. And even though there's a lot of positivity there, and I think there you know, there's reason for optimism. I think there's definitely reason for pause and for saying, you know, if this defense maybe doesn't reach that level, this is the reason why it might not happen.
Yeah, I've been hearing the Noah Igbinoghene hype and hearing that he's, you know, a dude, but I'm call me skeptical, you know. I'm a little skeptical about that. All right. I those are our questions. Brian, is there anything else? We got any bonus questions? Let's see.
Bonus questions. Well, all right. I got a question for you. What are you looking to see in the Dolphins' first preseason game?
Oh, that's a great question. I would like to see, first and foremost, I'm looking forward to seeing dudes in Miami Dolphins uniforms playing real football. I mean, I know it's a preseason game, but and I know we're probably not going to see a whole lot of starters in this one, but I'm just excited to see Miami Dolphins out there playing football. That's exciting to me. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm really curious to see how the offensive line performs. And I know, again, it's not meaningful, but I would expect that we're going to see an awful lot of Austin Jackson and Liam Eikenberg in this game. And seeing how they perform playing milquetoast offense against, a defense that's playing milquetoast defense is going to be, I don't know that it's going to be super informative, but it has the potential to be if we see a lot of the same problems that we've seen with those guys. So, I mean, that's I guess what I'm going to be looking for, but I'm also looking forward to seeing Eric Azukama get out there and play a little football. I was excited to see some Braylon Sanders, but I don't think we're going to see any of Sanders out there today. I'm hoping that we get a little bit of A-Chain. I want to see Devon A-Chain get involved. I want to see what he's got cooking for us and really get to see him in at least some sort of game action. I think that's something to look forward to in this game against the Falcons. That's it. But I mean, the biggest thing is that it's just football, man. Football's back. And it has not been as long of a summer for me personally this summer because the Cubs have actually been like decent. And they're like in a pennant race, thankfully, because they're in a terrible division. But so like the baseball has been meaningful. I mean, most years by the time I get to here, it's like I can't wait for baseball to just be over and out of the way because I'm done with it. And I'm just starving for football. But I'm really looking forward to seeing A-Chain and the Miami Dolphins play some football on Friday night at Hard Rock, baby. What about you?
Yeah, so I think definitely, you know, the young guys, so like a guy like A-Chain, for sure. I think the backup quarterback race, I think is intriguing to see Skylar Thompson versus Mike White, to see, does Skylar Thompson, look like he's developing? Because, this was a guy that the Dolphins kept as a third quarterback on the roster, despite just being a seventh round pick last year. And dude ended up starting a playoff game. And granted, was not good, but, showed enough signs that he was, could potentially be a competent quarterback in the league. We're so quick to rush to judgment because the lasting impression of Skylar Thompson is going to be like him being really bad down the stretch and then him playing really poorly against the Bills in the playoff game. But dude was a rookie. Like, dude was a rookie playing in a playoff game against a Super Bowl contender. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that this guy gets better. He should get better. And if he does get better, is he the better option as the backup quarterback than Mike White? I think that competition and seeing if those guys can kind of, that competition makes them better. I think that makes the team better because I think, we should probably all expect that Tua is probably going to miss at least a game or two, if not three or four or five. And when that happens, you want to feel confident in your backup quarterback. So I'm interested in seeing that. I'm interested in seeing the offensive line, but I'm not going to read too much into it because at the end of the day, you're almost certainly not going to see Teron Armstead. And so you're automatically now what I'll say is you're not going to see Teron Armstead. But in the same vein that I say, well, it's important to see what Skylar Thompson and Mike White do, because Tua's going to miss some time. Well, we pretty much know Teron Armstead's going to miss some time too. So what are the Dolphins going to do when Teron Armstead's not playing? Is that mean, is Wynn playing left tackle? Is Kendall Lamb playing left tackle? So I am interested to see how they play, but also who's getting those reps. Because that's because practice is more important than this game. And the reps that they get is going to tell you more about what is going on in practice and what the coaches are thinking. So I think, you know, is Kendall Lamb going to be playing left tackle and then Wynn playing left guard? Or is it going to be Wynn playing left tackle? Are we going to see Liam Eichenberg? Are we going to see Dan Feeney?
This is a pro Dan Feeney podcast. Thank you very much.
And then, you know, let's see what Austin Jackson looks like, because he needs the reps. Like, it would be nice to see Austin Jackson, you know, play like a half a football and actually look really good in pass protection. Like, that would make me feel really good if I saw that.
Oh, that would be delightful.
That would be something that I'm looking at. Defensively, I think a lot of these starters are not going to play. I think we're looking at like the depth and trying to figure out the bottom of this roster. I think there's a lot of question marks about, you know, corners, which of these corners, whether it's Eli Apple or Noah Igbinoghene, Trill Williams, is he going to get out there? Cause he took the red jersey off and he played a little bit at practice. So are we going to see Trill Williams? You know, what are these guys looking for? Verone McKinley's had a couple of defensive touchdowns, you know, in practice, in the joint practices. So like, what does he look like? You know, what is the, you know, who takes the lead there for like safety number four, safety number five? And then Channing Tindall, you know, what's the development of Channing Tindall? Because he's kind of this X factor that's like, he's like this forgotten man on this defense, because he was a guy that had a lot of upside, but he was very raw. And so there wasn't a lot of expectation for him last season. And now there's not a lot of expectation for him this season, because they bring in David Long and you got David Long and Jerome Baker playing in front of him. But David Long is a guy that's missed a lot of time historically. So what happens when David Long gets hurt? Is Channing Tindall ready to step in and really play at a high level? And if he is this a chess piece that you can kind of move around? And, I'm interested to see how we're using guys like Malik Reed and Andrew Van Ginkel. There's a lot of pieces on that defense that I think are exciting. I just don't think you're going to see like Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, Christian Wilkins. You're not going to see much of those guys.
No, not on Friday night. But you know who we may very well see in this game, Brain?
There he is. There he is.
Look at that man. What a
mullet
man.
And a mustache. What a combo.
When they sang that song, what a man, what a man, what a man. What a mighty good man. It was Dan Feeney. That's who they were singing about.
Salt and Pepper loves some Dan Feeney.
Yeah, back in the day when he was a kid, they loved Dan Feeney. Now they're getting prime Dan Feeney. So, just saying. We should get Salt and Pepper at the game. Come on. I was going to say, are they from Georgia? Maybe they're Falcons fans. I think they're actually LA folks.
They're LA?
So, yeah, I don't know. Either way, doesn't matter. We're going off the rails, which means it's time to wrap up the first episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show for the 2023 season. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. We appreciate it very much. Thank you for joining us. We're just getting the cobwebs out of our heads. We're clearing our heads. We're figuring out our schedule here as we go through the preseason, probably once a week as we get to the preseason. One of the big offseason acquisitions for the Same Old Dolphin Show was my new house, and which I'm currently actually in my old house because it stayed in the family. But the new house has a new studio being built in it as we speak. So it's very excited about that. And hopefully that'll be up and running in time for the regular season. Once that happens, we'll be in the swing of doing this a bit more often as we get back into the regular season. But thank you for joining us. For Aaron the Brain and me, we'll see you next week. We'll have some more news to talk about. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
let's be honest, Liam Eikenberg sucks.